day the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn at the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory be to his name. Glory be to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You're listening to Radio Redemption and Power. We are a South Florida radio program that preaches the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight we're going to be speaking about the power of the cross. I'll say that again. The power of the cross. We're going to be looking into some scriptures and seeing what that means to a Christian. Glory be to the name of our Lord Jesus. Remember, you can find us on our webpage, redemptionandpower.com, where you can listen to us live. Just hit the live radio tab on there. It'll take you straight to the player. And we also have a digital Bible in case you want to follow us through there. There's also a contact page, and you can also contact us directly to our email, redemptionandpower@gmail.com, or through our Facebook page. You can also listen to all of our past podcasts by looking us up on iTunes, which you can also find the link on our webpage. Seven. Brother Lewis, would you kindly lead us in prayer tonight?
Amen. Father God, tonight we want to thank you, Lord, for everything you have done in our lives, Lord. And I pray that tonight that you will teach us, Father, what we need to say, Father, and give us utterance, Father, so that your people will understand the significance, Father, of the cross. Amen.
Amen. Once again, you're listening to Radio Redemption and Power.
In the shadow of your glorious cross, compelled by grace to cast my lot, I'll scar the loss and bear your name, forsaking all for your own fame. Your hymn of grace sung over me, abounding forth in glorious streams. My thirst is quenched by thee, my Lord, sustained and my redeemed restored. Sustained and my redeemed restored. Dark shadows at my feet, when I am plagued by unbelief, you place my hands into your side, my precious blood identify, my precious blood identify. cast them down before the throne of Christ my God, the worthy Lamb. Christ crucified, the great I am. Christ crucified, the great I am. Christ crucified, the great I am.
We have heard people say there is power in the cross. What is this power? Is there some mystical powers in two pieces of wood? Or is there something greater than that? What is it that occurred on the cross of Calvary that changed the world forever? An innocent man was put to death for the sins of the world. But there was something different about this man. He was not a regular man. He was not born of a natural birth, but of a supernatural birth, and who claimed to be the Son of God. Matthew 20:28. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Have you ever had a good friend or someone you trusted and loved deeply hurt you? How did you feel about it? For most of us, this is something that is unforgivable and deserving of punishment. In the same way, we have all hurt God. We have cursed his name, broken his laws and statutes, and rejected him. Yet instead of punishing us, God sent his only begotten Son to earth to take our place in the punishment we deserve. He demonstrated his love, an act of kindness for all of us, by sending his Son on a mission to redeem us back to him on a cross in Calvary. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus did this by demonstrating that he was not a normal man, but a man with power from God. First, he took on Satan's temptation in the wilderness. Although the devil offered him the world and everything in it, Jesus came out victorious. Then he went out to teach people about the things of the kingdom, to save the lost, to feed the needy, to heal the sick, and to raise the dead. He also demonstrated authority over demons, the wind, the sea, and even spoke to a tree, and it withered and died. He went to his people, but his people rejected him. If that were not enough, he then went to the cross bearing our sins. He was whipped, mistreated, spit on, and mocked. On that cross, Jesus took our sins with him and gave his life for us. He set us free from all bondages and afflictions. He resurrected from the dead in 3 days, demonstrating his final victory and power over death and Satan. Hebrews 2:14. Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood, for only as human being could he die. And only by dying could he break the powers of the devil, who had the power of death. Friends, the cross should not be just an emblem that many of us carry around our necks or hang on the walls. It should not be just a sign to symbolize that we are Christians. We need to reflect on it and what it really stands for. It means that Jesus shed his blood for us, and we are now free because of God's grace at that cross. However, it came with a high price. It cost God his only Son. The cross is the completion of the redemption power of God for all humanity. Colossians 1:13. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son.
Amen. As Brother Lewis mentioned, when we as Christians speak about the cross, it is important that we make it clear that we are not speaking about a wooden, inanimate object. Rather, we are speaking about the events that transpired when Jesus of Nazareth was crucified on the cross of Calvary for the sins of the world. And this is important to understand because there still exists people who feel that a wooden cross offers some kind of protection, and that is in fact idolatry. See, no demon or devil is afraid of a piece of wood, but it is about the events of which that wood represents. But what does have power is the glorious event in which Jesus shed his blood for the sins of humanity. There is power in the gospel. There is power in the name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. And tonight we want to look at the power that came from the fulfillment of that event, which is in fact the climax of the Bible. The crucifixion is the single most important event in the Bible and in the world. In the whole history of humanity, the greatest event is the crucifixion and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the event of which the prophets spoke about from Genesis all the way to Malachi. It is the shadow of the Old Testament. And the Bible tells us that the world sees the events at the cross as foolishness. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." See, the gospel to the Christian is the power of God. Paul, in fact, says in Romans 1:16, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So we see that firstly, the gospel is the power to save. Now, when it comes to salvation, there is in fact a threefold aspect to salvation. There is a past, a present, and a future. The moment we place our trust upon Christ, we were washed of our sins and become sons of God. But we see that's an aspect of the past. We were saved once, and we received forgiveness that day. And then every day in the present, we are being saved from troubles. We are being renewed from our old ways of living, replacing the lies of the world with the truth of God. And one day in the future, at the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, we will be saved from the wrath of God. Interestingly, one of the definitions of the Greek word for salvation is also deliverance. So through the power of the cross, not only are we delivered from the powers of demons, but most importantly, from the power of sin. Sin is a poison inside the human being, slowly taking the life of an individual. In fact, we see a wonderful illustration in the Old Testament of the power of Jesus to save us from the power of sin. In fact, this story is found in Numbers chapter 21. And not only is it an actual event that happened in history, but it is an event that points to something deeper that was going to occur in the future. And we start in Numbers 21, and this was an event that happens even after Israel had won a victory. And they were being led, and God had provided for all their needs. But yet we see that they start to complain. And verse 4 of Numbers 21 says, "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way." Now, brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ told us that the way that leads to life is narrow, and few are they that find it. And that's why it's important for us to encourage one another in the way, because when a Christian becomes discouraged, It opens up the opportunity to sin. It causes them to look back and take their eyes off of Christ. And this is what happens to the people of Israel because of their discouragement. They begin to complain. And verse 5 says, "And the people spoke against God and against Moses, 'Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread.' So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died." We see because the people of Israel rejected the grace of God, the provision of God, God sent a plague of poisonous snakes which killed many of the people. And this is a fact what we see happen in the garden. Man was in perfect harmony with God. Man had safety. Man had provision. Man had peace. Man was in a state of perfection. But that wasn't enough for man. And through the eating of the fruit, it was an act of defiance towards God, despite all that God had given man. And man was basically telling God, "All that you have given us is not enough. We want more. We want to be like gods." And they were poisoned by the sting of death, by the poison of the words of the serpent, "You shall not die, but be as gods." And the Bible tells us what is that sting. 1 Corinthians 15:56, the Bible says, "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law." Paul tells us the sting of death is sin. So we see that just like the bite of the serpent that killed many of the Israelites, so is sin the death of humanity. We see that in this representation that we're in, this illustration, in this actual life event that happened in Numbers 21, we can see the type of sin entering humanity. When a serpent bites the person, it injects the venom and it slowly begins to enter all the different organs of that person, and that person slowly starts to die and that body slowly starts to shut down. But look at what happens and what continues to happen in Numbers 21:7. It says, "Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us.' So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, 'Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten when he looks at it shall live.' So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived." So here we see the people of Israel became conscious of their sin, and they confessed that they had sinned to the Lord. And this is important because there can be no restoration without acknowledgement of guilt. Because unless you know that there is poison inside of you, how can you ever reach for the antidote? And that's the purpose of God's law. The law reveals to us that we have sinned. And it shows us that we have broken his laws and are worthy of his judgment, so that we may run to Jesus Christ, the antidote. But we see that God tells Moses, after the people come and confess and repent of their sin, God tells Moses to make a bronze serpent and to put it on a pole, so that if anyone is bitten by a snake, they would look at it and the bite would not kill them. And if we were not given any other information, we would find this to be rather strange. Look at a bronze serpent on a pole and live? Especially when we now are able to understand that the serpent is a symbol of sin, a symbol of all that is evil and wicked. But we see that Jesus tells us something very important in the book of John that sheds light on this event, that shows us that this event is pointing to something deeper and greater. And we see that Jesus says in John 3:14, he says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Brother Lewis has just read John 3:16. And we see that what was Jesus speaking about before in verse 14, he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. So here we see that Jesus is pointing back to this event that happened in Numbers 21, where God told Moses to make a bronze serpent, to put it on a pole, and whoever looks at it will not die by the bite of the serpent. Now we see that it all pieces together, and now it makes sense. That what happens in number 21, though it was an actual event, yet it was a picture of what Christ would do for the world. That he would be lifted up on a cross as the penalty for the sin of the world. And now we understand why it was that God told him to make a bronze serpent, because the Bible tells us that when Christ was crucified, in 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we see that the bronze serpent, we know that the serpent is a symbol of sin, and the bronze is a type of judgment because of its ability to withstand fire. Everything in the tabernacle, everything in the temple that had to have fire on it was made out of bronze. We see that bronze is a type of judgment. And the Bible shows us that Jesus became sin for us. And not only did he become sin, but at the cross he received the judgment of sin for sin. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. So Christ at the cross received the wages of sin for the sin of humanity. And just like the Israelites were saved in the wilderness if they looked at the serpent, so will the sinner be saved from the poison of sin, from the death of sin, if they look to Jesus, if they look to the finished work of the cross. The power of the cross is the power to overcome sin and death. And through Jesus receiving the wages of sin, which is death, we can now receive the gift of God, which is eternal life in Christ Jesus. But we see that these events in Numbers 21 are pointing to the events of the cross, when Jesus will be lifted up before the world as a sacrifice for sin. But the Bible also shows us that through the power of what Christ did at the cross, we have peace. Ephesians 2:15 says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. See, one of the things that the world seeks earnestly is peace. We have individuals that live their lives constantly taking antidepressants. Much of the United States suffers with anxiety disorders. And the world desires peace. And they try to find it in sex. They try to find it in drugs. They try to find it in alcohol. They desire it so much that one day they will be willing to place a mark on their right hand or forehead and worship Satan himself, if only he will bring them peace. But they refuse to come to Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. They refuse to come to him that can wipe away the guilt of our sins. According to the ADAA, over 14 million documented cases in the United States of depression. Over 3,000 people every year take their lives. If only these individuals knew, if only these individuals could taste the peace that comes through the blood of Jesus, if only they could taste reconciliation. And to reconcile means to bring back to a former state. And this is exactly what Jesus does through the events at the cross of Calvary. Colossians 1:20 says, and having made peace, again, peace. He says, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven. Jesus can bring reconciliation to your life. And through reconciliation, he brings restoration. Because life without God is not life at all. It's like taking a plant and hiding it away in the dark. It may live for a little, but soon it will begin to wither away without the sunlight, without the oxygen, without the water. But Jesus is the life. He is life, and he creates all things new, and he will break the bonds of sin. He will save you from the venomous serpent bite and will reconcile you as a child of God, never to separate you from him. For those that have been saved, for those who have trusted upon his name, for those who have been baptized in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us not return to sin. Let us not forget what he has done for us. For many, even after tasting the goodness of God, still reject his mercy and grace. Look at what Paul says in Philippians 3:17. He says, brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. The Bible says that they are enemies of the cross who live after their carnal desire, who only think about their earthly life. But Paul tells us that our citizenship is in heaven. And likewise, those that have been saved by the power of the cross, the power of the sacrifice of Jesus, should not be looking to this world. Their hope should not be in this world. We, as Brother Lewis has said, as he read in the book of Colossians, that Jesus Christ has translated us, has transported us from this world, from the power of darkness, to his kingdom. And we as Christians should walk as citizens from heaven, as citizens of the kingdom of God. And if you do not know him, you can call upon his name tonight. You can call upon the name of Jesus and ask him for forgiveness of sins. In fact, when we open up the lines, if you have that desire in your heart, you say, Brother Javier, Brother Lewis, I want to know God. I want to know Jesus. I want God to forgive me of my sins. I want a new life. When we open up the phone lines, call us. We'll be happy to pray with you. We'll be happy to speak to you and show you what the Word of God says.
Amen. I would just like to elaborate a little bit on the book of Matthew, chapter 27, verse 50 and up. And this is what it says. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And now this is 51 here. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks split. I don't know about you, friends, but that's some kind of power. To be able to split rock and to divide the curtain that was keeping normal people to enter in. That was something special. That meant that God had just opened up the avenue for you and I to enter into the holies of holies, to enter into his presence. Like my brother Javier says, he had opened up a way for us to enter in. Then in 52, it says, and the tombs broke open. These were people that were dead for a long, long time. And the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. And they came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy cities and appeared to many people. Can you imagine? I wasn't there, but just reading this excites me. To think of God demonstrating to the people, and not to the people that actually believe, but I mean to people who were against him. He probably showed himself to a lot of the Jews, you know, and the critics of those times. And Matthew 27:54, it says, and when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw that the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, surely he was the Son of God. Folks, these are people that did not believe him. These were people that put him on that cross. And for them to say such a thing, it must have been that something that they saw in that day made them change their thought.
You know, in fact, I was having a conversation today with my younger brother, and we were speaking about the gospel, and he mentioned something that really impacted me. And it's sometimes we don't see things in that perspective. But one of the things we're speaking about is that God loves us so much, and he valued us so much, that the price that he paid was the death of God himself. The life of God himself was how much he valued every individual, in which Jesus Christ, the Bible shows us, being God in the flesh, died on the cross. He physically died. And he rose again on the third day. But God values you and me so much that the price was the life of God. I mean, think about that. That is mind-blowing. And that's how much he loves us. That's what John 3:16 is about. For God so loved. And that word love is the Greek word agape. And it's a love that doesn't hold anything back. And that's why the Bible shows us how much, if God did not withhold his only son from us, how much would he give us all things? It shows us the depth of God's love. He's not even willing to withhold himself. That's amazing. How can we reject such an amazing love? And it also, it not only shows us how great is his love, but it's also easy to understand why there is a hell. Why would God go so far to save humanity if there, the consequence that awaits us, if the destiny that awaits us is not that is such dire as the eternal fires of hell. But Jesus Christ can change our destination. He can change our hearts. He can forgive us of our sins. He can give us a new life. We can begin to experience this intimate relationship. As Brother Lewis had said, the temple veil was broken. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:16 that God killed enmity. He killed hostility at the cross. There's no longer anything that can hold you back from coming into a relationship with Him as long as you lay your life down, trust upon the name of Jesus Christ, and follow Him.
Best I have to offer are these filthy rags, and yet
Amen. What a wonderful song. That we could actually run to the cross and seek Jesus for our salvation, for our needs, for our hope. I mean, now we have an ability to be able to come to God. Every one of us, no matter what you're going through, no matter how many times people may tell you that you're worthless, perhaps you have made a mistake in your life, but we all have. And we could see that God, being holy and just, decided to come to earth, like my brother Javier said, to give his life as a ransom for you and I.
And perhaps you're someone that's listening tonight and you started walking in the path, you were baptized, and you became, somewhere along the line, you strayed away. The Bible shows us in 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Meaning that there is, if we find ourselves that we become conscious that we are in the wrong path, that we have strayed away from Jesus, there is a way back. And it starts by, number one, confessing our sins to Jesus. Confessing to him our flaws, our failures, and asking him to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And the Bible says he is faithful and just. Meaning, and here's the thing, this is where the just part comes, because the Bible shows us that because what Christ did for us on the cross, that it is just for God to forgive us and to give us his grace. Isn't that amazing? That God, it is just for God to say, I forgive you, and to bestow upon you the riches of his grace because of what Jesus did for you. And we want to pray tonight for our brother Angel. And brother Angel, if you're listening, the Lord loves you, and we know that he's going to continue to work in your life. And we just want to go ahead and pray for you and for our brothers and sisters. Heavenly Father, blessed be your holy name. We come before you today, Father, in the glorious name of our Lord Jesus. And Father, we come seeking your throne of grace. We come seeking your power. And we present before you, Lord, our brother Angel, Father, who did stray, Father. But now he desires, Father, to come back to the paths of righteousness, Father. And Lord God, we ask you tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you be bringing restoration to his life and hear the cry of his heart, Father, for he desires you, Lord. He desires your presence. He desires your forgiveness. He desires to walk with you, Father. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you may break any chains, Lord, that may be in his life, and that you, Father, may continue the work that you have begun in his life, Father, for you are faithful to finish it, Lord. And Father, we also ask, Lord, for our brothers that are listening tonight, Lord, that have strayed away, and that they acknowledge, Father, that they have sinned. Father, that you restore them back to the former ways of when they walk with you, Jesus. And Father, that you may wipe away through the blood of Jesus the guilt of the past. That you, Father, may restore them, may bring reconciliation, Father, to their lives. Father, we ask, Lord, that you would bring transformation to our brothers and sisters that listen tonight, or any that may be sick, that Father, you bring healing upon them. To any that may be discouraged, that you may bring consolation and strength through the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, thank you. In the glorious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach.
Amen. I also want to pray for a couple of our brothers that are going through some hardship. You know, these are people that are fighting in the trenches. And a lot of us may not know this, but they need our prayers as well. And I want to take the time to pray for my brother Justin Fall, and also for our brother in Brazil, Marcos. Father God, tonight we give you thanks for these two wonderful men. Men that you have called, Father, to fight for you, Father, for your righteousness, Lord, to preach the gospel around the world, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you may, Father, strengthen our brothers, Lord, as they go through whatever you want them to go through, Father. But Father, I pray that you give them wisdom, that you give them strength, and that you give them the words, Father, to be able to express and to destroy all the works of the enemy, Lord. I pray that you send your angels around them to protect them, Lord, at all times, Father, and to give them the strength to continue to push forward in this battle. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. I also want to pray for Manny. Father, that you may strengthen him, Father, as he goes out and protects your people, Lord, on the streets every day. And that you give him, Father, wisdom. And Father, that he may be able to, Father, at all times, keep you in his heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Father, we also pray for our brothers and sister Paul and Linda Villanueva. Father, we ask that you would strengthen them, Father, that you would provide for all their needs, that you would continue to bless their work, Father. And in the name of our Lord Jesus, Father, we pray against any demonic attacks upon their lives. And that, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would continue to expand the ministry, Father. Continue to use them, continue to grant them revelation and knowledge of your word, Father. And that many of individuals, Father, that are coming out from apostate churches, Father, may be fed, Lord, from the programs and teachings, Lord, that their ministry continues to put out, Father. Thank you, Lord, for their lives. We pray you bless them and keep them. And we pray for all of our brothers and sisters that are listening tonight that pray for this ministry. We ask in the name of Jesus that you may bless them, Father, that their lives may be fruitful, Father, and full of your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We thank you for listening tonight. Remember, you can find us on our webpage, redemptionandpower.com. You can also download all our podcasts directly from our iTunes page. You can communicate with us either through email at redemptionandpower@gmail.com, or you can find us on Facebook. Just type in redemptionandpower@gmail.com to find us. We thank you for listening tonight. We pray that the Lord bless you.
Every day the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.